All right. I think I'm a little smaller than our previous speakers. Can y'all hear me?
No.
No? I know who said that. All right, we're going to move back to the South here. And what I want to talk a little bit about today is the effects of the biochar characteristics on carbon and nitrogen mineralization in our loamy sand soils. And is that good? Yeah. So we've already heard this, but I just want to reiterate that this biochar is this matrix of aromatic carbon with enmeshed aliphatic carbons and other more labile carbon fractions, and then the ash that we've heard about from several of our other speakers. And you can see couple of pictures here. This is some pine chip biochar and poultry litter biochar that we've been working with. And as we all seem to be emphasizing here today, is biochar all the same? No, it's not. I think we are emphasizing this because out in the world of the internet, there's some rather extraordinary claims being made about biochar. So this is some data that we have that'll just illustrate this once again with poultry litter, which is the PLPN, which is peanut hull biochar, and PC, which is pine chip biochar. And you can see we have quite different pHs, carbon content, nitrogen content, which is, you know, a different CN ratio. And then we also did some leaching of just these chars, and we saw differences in the amount of dissolved organic carbon that came off from these different chars. And these are all ones that are made at 400 degrees C with nitrogen carrier gas, so under the same pyrolysis conditions. So it's due to feedstock. So we were interested in these different biochar characteristics, how that might affect carbon and nitrogen mineralization. And in particular, we have done some field trials with peanut hull and pine chip biochar. And you saw the peanut hull biochar had about a 2% nitrogen content. We really thought we might see some of that coming out in the field and didn't see any evidence of that. So we wanted to know a little bit more about where that nitrogen might be, and looked at doing some incubations to look at carbon and nitrogen mineralization. And then because our engineers work a lot with TG and TGMS for the energy components of this, we were interested in seeing if we could use that to determine where the more labile carbon fraction of the biochar might be and whether or not the nitrogen might be associated with that fraction. So we're working in a Tifton soil. So you can see the characteristics here. Very low carbon, low nitrogen, fairly high carbon nitrogen ratio for that soil. Our feedstocks, again, were peanut hulls and pine chips. Again, pyrolyzed at 400 degrees C, and we used the nitrogen as our carrier gas. You can see the difference in his pH and in nitrogen here, and the differences in the carbon-nitrogen ratio with these two materials. We just did a simple incubation where we had biochar applied at 22 and 44 megagrams per hectare. Looked at using we used sodium hydroxide traps to look at CO2 mineralization at more frequently in the beginning, and then every 2 weeks up to 136 days. For nitrogen mineralization, we just did extractions at day zero and at 136, looked at the difference there. Then with the TG, what we're looking at is mass loss just by thermal decomposition. And you'll notice with these, we use argon as our carrier gas, so we don't get any oxidation. The heating rate was 5 degrees C per minute from 30 to 700 degrees centigrade. And in the literature, what we see is people looking at less than 100 degrees C, that's mostly water loss. The mass loss is mostly water. Between 200 and 400, that's largely due to the aliphatic fraction, though there can be some more complex long-chain aliphatics that are higher than that. But basically, at greater than 400 degrees C, we're largely looking at aromatic compounds. With the TGMS, unfortunately, we didn't do this because we didn't have enough sample. We did do the TG on both the fresh biochar and the incubated biochar. On this one, we were only able to do it on the fresh biochar and the feedstocks. But we also looked at the gas coming off, and we looked for a signal from nitric oxide as a signal for where that nitrogen might be coming off during this heating process. And here, we have a mixture of argon and oxygen so that we do get oxidation of the nitrogen. When we looked at our incubation data, we had very high variability in our control samples, and we think that that's due to the very low carbon and energy content in those soils. So what I'm going to show you here is we did look at a rate and a maximum respiration rate from both the two different biochar feedstocks, but we didn't use the control in the statistical analysis of that. We fit our respiration data to this model with SAS, PROC, INLIN. Then we used PROC Mix to look at whether we saw a difference between the different biochar feedstocks and the rate of biochar addition. So here's our TG results, and you can see this on this axis is the percent mass remaining. Here's our range of temperatures, and remember what we were interested in primarily was this area between about 200 and 400 degrees C. And what we've got here is the peanut hull biochar in the yellow line and the pine chip biochar in the blue line. And if you look at the mass loss between these, even though it looks pretty flat to me, this is actually a steeper rate, and we do have a little bit higher fraction of that aliphatic content with that peanut hull biochar. If we look at the mineralization results, that is borne out in that we have here our peanut hull chart, our highest rate at 44 megagrams per hectare. Here's our peanut hull char at 22, and then the highest rate of the pine chip char, and not much difference between the control at the lower rate of pine chip char. And you can see we had the biggest response, as many people have reported, early in the incubation due to the soil disturbance, and then those things tend to converge starting at about 25 to 38 days. So if we look at our mineralization rates, we saw a significant difference between the peanut hull and the pine chip biochar at P equals 0.05. We did not see a significant difference with the rate. And actually, with all the variability that we had in these incubations, I think next time I'll pick 0.1 so I can say that it was significant. With respiration, maximum respiration, we saw a difference with rate there. Again, did not see a difference with the feedstock. We did not see any difference in nitrogen mineralization over that 136-day incubation. And if we look at the TGMS data, what I'm showing you here is an intensity of signal. And this is our feedstock, our original feedstock, and here in the blue is, after it's been pyrolyzed, this is the pine chip biochar. And you can see we have this signal here that is more in areas where we would expect to see it from maybe amino acids and that sort of thing, and it's been shifted over into where it should be in a more aromatic fraction with pyrolysis. With a peanut hull char, we actually saw this double peak, but again, after pyrolysis, it shifts over into this more aromatic fraction. So it looks to us that that's where our nitrogen is probably residing. If we go back to the thermogravimetric analysis, looking at the fresh, we've got fresh char versus the incubated char here for peanut hulls and here for pine chip. And I think we actually thought we might saw a reduction in the aliphatic fraction with the aged biochar. We actually saw a little bit of an increase that may be due to microbial biomass over the incubation. So basically, we did see effects on mineralization by feedstock characteristics, both the feedstock itself and the rate. That aliphatic component may provide a source for that initially higher carbon mineralization rates. The nitrogen mineralization was low, even in that 2% nitrogen peanut hull biochar, and it appears to be associated more with more of the aromatic or long-chain polycyclic aliphatic fraction. So I want to thank all of my co-authors and the crew at UGA for helping out with a number of different field greenhouse and lab studies that we have going on.
Okay, thank you, Julia.